Hello, my name is Sven Beckert, and I'm the author of Capitalism, A Global History. I'm also a professor of history at Harvard University. And a few years ago, I published another book on the global history of cotton. It's The Empire of Cotton, A Global History. I want to summarize some of the key takeaways of Capitalism, A Global History. This book is about capitalism. It shows how the emergence and spread of a distinctly capitalist way of organizing economic activity has swept around the world and become the most significant fact in our lives today. I argue that capitalism unleashed the world's most impactful revolution. We cannot understand our lives today without also understanding capitalism. It structures the way we work. It creates the particular shape of our cities. It enables our unprecedented consumption of goods and services. And it even helps shape our most intimate relations. To understand anything about the world we live in today, we need to understand capitalism. This book provides you with much of what you need to know. It tries to renew people's perspective on capitalism, among other things, by showing its revolutionary impact and its constant shape-shifting, which testifies to capitalism's undogmatic nature. The second big argument that this book, Capitalism, A Global History, makes is about the importance of taking a historical perspective on capitalism. Libraries full of books have been written on the abstract laws of capitalism, its allegedly essential characteristics. This book is not such a book. It instead tells capitalism's history as a lively story of how it emerged among merchant communities in an archipelago of cities in the first half of the second millennium, how it spread slowly into the countryside, into agriculture, and into manufacturing, how trade connected far-flung places to one another, how modern industry emerged, how colonialism and slavery became important building blocks of the new economic world, how it overcame the devastating economic crisis of the 1930s, how it seeped into almost all spheres of life on planet Earth in the 20th century, and how it confronts the end of the most recent neoliberal era. In the course of that story, we learn about how capitalism constantly shifted its shape, how it combined and recombined various forms of labor, various forms of the organization of capital, and various forms of political rule with one another. This book talks about capitalism as it actually unfolded over the past 1,000 years, and not about the ways in which it should have unfolded according to economics textbooks. Third, Capitalism, A Global History is not just a history of capitalism, but a global history. It tells the history of capitalism from a planetary perspective. Unlike most works on capitalism, which focus on places such as Florence, Genoa, Amsterdam, London, and New York, I see capitalism as a global co-production in which many of the world's people, willingly or unwillingly, came to play crucial roles. The book starts in the port of the Yemenite city of Aden in the year 1150, and it ends in front of the gates of garment factories in Cambodia's capital of Phnom Penh in the year 2023. Along the way, we touch down in places on all continents. We get to know the merchants of 16th century Surat. We learn about the enslaved sugar workers on Barbados in the 17th century. We follow the dirt poor weavers of what is now southern Poland. And we encounter the enormous manufacturing power of early modern China. We learn about how a French merchant connected the slave economies of the Caribbean to the expanding European mercantile and then manufacturing sectors in the 18th century. And later, we encounter how enclosures drove workers into Glasgow's emerging cotton textile industry. I trace the intensification of indigo agriculture in India. I follow the follies of New York's economic elite in the late 19th century. We get to know German steel industrialists. We learn about the transformation of sugar labor in the Indian Ocean island of Réunion. We learn about the strikes of Senegalese railroad workers in 1919. The efforts of Indian industrialists to produce the country's first typewriter after independence, the improving lives of Swedish auto workers in the 1960s, and we learn how the neoliberal revolution was forged in the country of Chile, And last but not least, we get an impression of the enormous dynamic of the current transformations of Cambodia. I argue that all of these developments need to be considered to show the global scope of the capitalist revolution, but also to show that no moment of capitalism's history can possibly be understood from a local, national, or Eurocentric perspective alone. Capitalism was born global. The condition of its possibility was its very globality. I argue that all of these developments need to be considered to show the global scope of the capitalist revolution, and then also to show that no moment of its history can possibly be understood from a merely local, national, or European perspective only. Capitalism was born global. The condition of its possibility was its very globality. The fourth big idea that drives Capitalism: A Global History is that the book is not an abstract treatise of the laws of economic development, but an account of how a great variety of people in many different parts of the world built and shaped global capitalism during the past 1,000 years. We get to know characters that are familiar to many of us, such as the Florentine merchant family Medici and the Augsburg Fuggers. We get to know Andrew Carnegie and Henry Ford. But we also get to know many lesser-known entrepreneurs, the Chalebis in Surat, the Godridges in Bombay, and the Shens in Guangzhou. Totally different sets of people appear in the book as well. Women play a crucial role in capitalism's history, and thus they also play a crucial role in this book. They are peasants in the English countryside, enslaved workers on Saint-Domingue, trafficked indentured cultivators in Australia, car workers in Turin, and rebellious entrepreneurs in the 1970s United States. I argue that all these different groups of people struggle over the terms of the capitalist revolution and as a result shape capitalism. Capitalism is a human creation and not a fact of nature, and these protagonists played a key role in shaping the specific forms of capitalism as it emerged at particular moments in time. The fifth key argument of Capitalism: A Global History is that this is a book that is about history, but it is written to enable us to find new ways to navigate our futures. History does not repeat, and no one can predict what will come next. But we can learn from understanding the patterns of the development of capitalism during the past 1,000 years. We can, for example, see that capitalism shifted its shape quite dramatically through that history. The 18th century capitalism that combined so crucially colonialism, slavery, and state-distant company rule had little to do with the industrial capitalism of the 1870s. The capitalism of the 1960s, with its emphasis on Keynesian economic policies, had little to do with capitalism of the 1920s. And the capitalism of 21st century Shenzhen had little to do with the capitalism of 1890s Pittsburgh. The enormous flexibility that capitalism has showcased in the past points to its great flexibility in the future. And it points to the likelihood that despite all efforts to naturalize a certain moment in the history of capitalism, namely the neoliberal order in which we just lived, that order, the neoliberal order, will prove just as fleeting as previous such orders. The capitalism of the future will probably look quite substantially different from the capitalism today. And thinking about past shape-shiftings of capitalism, how capitalism changed in the past, can help us discern the mechanisms of such shape-shifting in the future. We can also learn from capitalism's history how capitalism has continuously made use of the free gifts of nature, and that its current path of rapidly accelerating resource use is almost certainly unsustainable. The global perspective that this book employs encourages us also to think about the future in such global terms as well, and its emphasis on the importance of a whole variety of actors reminds us that we are living in a human-made order that we can shape in a whole variety of ways. We are actors in that history just as much as our forefathers and mothers have been actors in this history. In short, this book encourages us to understand the single most significant fact in our lives today, capitalism, and to think about it in a new way. It enables us to think also in new ways about our futures. The global perspective that this book employs encourages us to think about the future in such global terms as well. And the book's emphasis on the importance of a whole variety of actors reminds us that we are living in a human-made order that we can shape in a whole variety of ways. We are actors in that history just as much as our forefathers and mothers have been actors in capitalism's history. In short, this book encourages us to understand the single most significant fact in our lives today, capitalism, and to understand it in a new light, to enable us to think in new ways about our futures as well. These are the five takeaways from Capitalism and Global History, and I hope you will enjoy the book.